Running with Maverick and Wolfman. Hey guys, welcome back.
Welcome.
Before we get into it, remember to
like, follow, find us on Facebook, X, Instagram, the big one, YouTube. Find us on YouTube, subscribe, hit the little bell so you know when we release new things.
That's right. All right. So today we're going to talk about whether you should be running fast or slow, especially if you're a new runner. I want to run fast. Should I run fast or should I run slow, Wolfman?
If you're not running fast, you're not running, right?
You're technically walking.
I joke. No, easy runs are good. They're very important, even for experienced runners, but definitely early on, like anything, start easy, work into it. You'll reduce your risk of injury, which is always a plus.
Yeah, that's a big factor in the beginning is if you're running and you're new to it or you're exercising, whatever you're doing, if you're new to it, you have to start off slow, get used to it, get your body used to it. It has to adjust. So a lot of people do that. They get on the treadmill and they go full throttle. They go up to the max speed they can do. They try to hold it for as long as they can. And it's not very long usually, and they're off. And then their knees bothering them, their back's bothering them, their hip. They've got some kind of injury, but you need to start off slow, just like with anything. If you were to try to compete with weightlifting, you're not going to go in the gym and just max out first day and be like, oh, that's it. That's where I'm at. You're going to start off slow. You're going to build your reps up. You're going to build up your weights. And it just takes a lot of time. Running takes a lot of time, just like any other activity. Mm-hmm. You're not great at it first day. You're not even, usually you're struggling the first day. First week, first month.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's like our last guest said, you know, you go too hard, you're going to be hurt. You're going to, you know, work for a couple months and then you'll be off for several months trying to recover from that injury. And you're going to get discouraged if you do that. And, you know, the idea is to change habits and to get healthy. And if you discourage yourself from the start, you know, you're not helping yourself at the moment, and you're probably not going to go back to that activity because you're going to say to yourself, oh, every time I do this, I get hurt. Well, you need to change the way you're doing it. Start easy. Yeah.
Right. And you know, there's nothing wrong with walking when you're tired or if you've just had enough, because
yeah,
if you run for 20 minutes, say, and you run the whole time and then you can't run for 3 days afterwards, what good is that? It's like running 7 minutes a day, basically. You know, that's just do that. Just walk and run, or run 7 minutes and then run more days. It's better to not be injured. It's better to not be super tight for a few days, especially when you're first starting off and you don't know how to recover, than to push it all out and not be able to run for days or have to go to the PT or have to go to the doctor. Don't do that. Don't do that. We don't like seeing that, right, Wolfman?
Right. And I mean, I know what's that.
I was gonna say, if you come into the PT clinic and you see us and you tell us that story, I mean, we're definitely gonna help you out, but we're gonna be laughing because we see it all the time.
I'm gonna recommend this podcast to you.
Yeah, right.
I'm not even gonna see you. I'm just gonna be like, listen to this.
Listen to these two guys. I have no idea where they're from.
But I even know very experienced runners that will walk on occasion if they, you know, feel the need, or modify or take the day off or whatever it might be. I mean, it's part of it.
I can say that I never was a walking person, but until recently, you know, after coming back and then trying to increase my mileage, depends on what surface I'm on, depends on what day it is, depends on how big the hill is. Like, there's times where I'll just go from, I'm going to run a straight five, and I, all of a sudden I'm running and walking because I'm just not in that kind of shape to push the way that I'm trying to push. And it's important to recognize that and then take a step back. So I'm at the point where I'm taking a step back going, okay, I can't run that hard. These paces that I'm trying to hit are too fast. I need to slow it down a little bit. And I don't know why. I just keep trying to run the same paces that we used to run years ago. There's no point for it though. It's just ego. So I got to take that away, start over again, and run a slower pace. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I was thinking when you told me what we were going to talk about today, in high school, at least for me, we were introduced to easy runs, purposeful easy runs, very early. I mean, it was part of our weekly routine. Coach would say, we're doing a slow run today. You're running slow as a team or whatever it might be. So when, even in college, when we were told to go easy, I've never really paid much attention to the watch. Now certainly if you're running in a group, somebody's controlling that pace, but, I've never really struggled with going easy on an easy day, you know?
Yeah. That's one of my struggles. I tend to try to go faster. So, you know, sometimes I have to change it up and think of it as another sport. That usually helps me with things in life. So if I was thinking about it like a basketball team, right? If I'm on the basketball team and I've been playing for 1 year, I'm not taking three pointers. I should be shooting layups, you know, little jump shots, maybe free throws, that kind of thing. I shouldn't be shooting from the three. I shouldn't be shooting from anywhere else. But then you see an NBA star and they're shooting from half court and they're making it. Well, that takes so many years of practice, and you have to be, I mean, obviously talented to do that, but you can get better at anything. It takes a long time. This is the same thing with running. Like when I first started, 4 miles was a long run. It was a hard run, and any pace would have been difficult to do. Not 7 minute per mile pace or 5 minute per, yeah. Like any mileage, any distance, any time was hard to do because I was new to running. Now I was an athlete, so I was used to sprinting and stuff. So those kind of workouts were easier, but the distance stuff was not. And I should have just slowed it down and just ran the distance at a much more comfortable pace. Mm-hmm. But you got to talk to yourself and say, hey, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. So we've talked about this before, you know, and it's not introduced that way in high school. It's something that most people do as adults when they're getting into running. But, you know, these couch to 5K programs or these run your first 5K programs, they literally take a block of time, and we'll say 30 minutes just for the sake of argument. And for those 30 minutes, you start with mostly walking, and then gradually over time, you are increasing the amount of time that you're running in that 30 minutes until you're running most of, if not all of those 30 minutes. So it's a normal progression of things to do it that way.
And if you're not truly a couch to 5K person, if you're a person that has run somewhat over the years, and now you're just going to get more serious about it before you run a 5K, same thing. It's the same concept. There's nothing wrong with slowing down, breaking it up. That's fine. There's no problem with it. I don't know why people always think you have to run continuously and always think that you have to basically race the whole run. There's no reason for that. If you study anything about running or talk to anyone who's been running well for a long time, they'll tell you the opposite. They're like, no, there's easy days, there's hard days, there's speed workouts, there's this, there's that. They'll tell you about all this fluctuation, and that's how they got better at running. It wasn't just running, mm-hmm. you know, 5 kilometers every single day as hard as I could. Which I have seen people do that, and it's not good. Racing every day one distance is not good, not ideal.
No. I mean, you might be okay for a while, but eventually you're going to tip that scale to injury. I mean, it's going to happen.
Now, if you're running it and not racing it, like if you were just running it to stay in shape, like if you were a person that went to the gym and you got on the treadmill for, you know, 25 minutes and ran your same pace every day. It's not a race pace. It's just a workout. And that's how you stay in shape. There's nothing wrong with that either, but that's totally different than what we're talking about.
Right. We're not talking about that. We're talking about going out and pounding the ground every day as hard as you can.
With your feet, not your fists.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, you know, the emphasis today is to run slower in your workouts, not all the time, but the base workouts, you know, the things that aren't speed workouts, yeah. In order to try to recover faster, have less lactic acid build up, feel better, mm-hmm. less injuries, yada, 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 yada. Right, Wolfman?
Yes. Yada, 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 yada.
That's key.
The yadas are good. No, I mean, you're absolutely right. Even if you look at, you know, some of these big time coaches, like I do the Daniels, you have, you know, a 7 day block, and you might have two, maybe even some weeks one, but 1 to 3, what they call quality days, so workout days, in a block. And I wish you wouldn't call them quality days, because I think all the days are quality. It's just a different degree of what you're trying to achieve.
I would argue that even a rest day is quality.
Well, that's
your body
that's
needs what that I mean. As well.
Yeah,
a non-running day.
That's why I wish he wouldn't call them quality days, because yes, the recovery days are key. So, but even in those blocks, you know, you have several days between those workout days that are just focused on recovery runs. Mm-hmm. And they're supposed to be easy. And really, until I started formulating my own programs with Daniels, I didn't realize, I mean, like I said, I never really struggled with going easy on easy days, but if you look at the pace chart you're supposed to follow, those easy days are very easy, like borderline pedestrian for what you're used to. You should feel untaxed.
And I think that's where some folks get into trouble with it, is that they look at elite runners' easy days and then say, well, if they're running this, they add like a minute or a minute and a half onto that. That's not the same thing. Like if an easy day for an elite is running like a 6:30 pace, that's nowhere near a non-elite's pace for an easy day. You have to put a lot more time on it than that, because you're not racing at 4:30 pace, right?
Right. I would even
say, are you? Are you running at 4:30 pace?
I'm not.
Okay.
No. But I would say that some of those guys are doing even slower than that on their easy days. Like I would say they're approaching the 7:30 pace, because those, you know, you need to keep your heart rate into a range that's recovery and not taxing. So,
and I would also say that there's some that are probably running the first mile in 8.5 to 10 minute pace, and they might knock down the second, third, fourth mile, whatever, but they might start incredibly slow for the first mile, to the point where someone seeing them would be like, oh, they're just an everyday runner. They're not some kind of elite caliber runner.
Right.
Which is always fun. I love that too. You know, when you see a runner that's actually really talented running slow, and then people are like, oh my gosh, look how slow they're running. I could run faster than that.
Right.
Try it. Try them sometime.
Bring it on.
Challenge that person to a run. See what happens.
I think doing your easy runs in a group is helpful as well, especially if you've got a mix of ability level, because then, you know, you could chit chat with people you don't necessarily sit down and talk to a lot. And then, you know, you're both working relatively easy because you're both just talking. And then before you know it, the run is over. Cause you know, a lot of these easy runs are some of the bulk of your mileage. So, you know, it's nice to have company.
I would say when I was running my best 5Ks, I would do 5 days of running in the week. So I had 2 completely off days that I didn't do anything on most weeks, not every week, but most weeks. And of those 5 days, I would do a speed workout on one day and tempo run on another day. So I had 2 workout days. I had 3 distance days. I try to hit like maybe 8 miles or something a day on those longer days. No really long runs. And I did better and better and better. And then if I had a race, I'd race on a Saturday. But I did well with that. My body responded well to that. But I had to have those 2 break days most weeks because I was running so hard on the 2 workout days that your body just needed it. And it didn't matter if I got the long run in, because I was only running, you know, 5K races at the time.
Mm-hmm. I think something people don't realize too is, you know, there is this delayed onset muscle soreness that people will talk of, or DOMS, they'll call it. And that's a real thing. And it's usually about 2 days after a hard workout is where you're sore. So if you're going to do a workout on a Monday, you probably shouldn't do one on Wednesday. You should give yourself till Thursday, or you could, some people sneak this in, a hard workout Monday, Tuesday, and then they recover Wednesday, Thursday.
I think if you're
second day is crucial.
if you are a new runner, just trying to follow the advice of, you know, the expert that you're going with, do that. But it's going to be some time before you figure out how your body works. And that's going to be very important, because if you log what you're doing, you're going to start to see that, like, Monday, Tuesday didn't work out. Monday, Wednesday didn't work out. Monday, Thursday worked out awesome. Like, you're going to see some kind of pattern where you feel better and perform better. And there is going to be an individual component. We can't all run the same way, just like we can't all do the same job. Like, it just doesn't work out. So figure out what's working for you and then improve on it. And it takes time. So if you're a couch to 5K runner, don't expect crazy results immediately. And don't expect to all of a sudden win the thing. It's possible, but it's highly unlikely that you'll win your age group or win the whole event. And that shouldn't be most people's goals. It should be just to complete the event to begin with, to improve on where they're at. And that takes time. It just takes a lot of time. I remember when I first got back into running after taking a long period off, I thought in 6 weeks I'd be at where I was after running for 6 years. And that was not happening.
That doesn't happen?
That I did not rebound that well.
I mean,
it was hard to run anything.
Yeah. I've read training blocks where they, you know, it's just about finishing your first event. So they don't even recommend any type of what we would call a workout, a speed workout, for that whole first training cycle. They recommend focusing on finishing whatever you want to finish, 5K, 10K, half, whatever it might be. And then right. The next time you sign up for one, start playing with speed. Now I think that's, in my opinion, that's a little too conservative. I think time should always be a potential goal. I don't think you have to wait till your second, third, or fourth one to try to get a time. But I do agree that you shouldn't be like trying to win the thing out of the get-go if you've never done it before. Now, some people are talented, and yet that might happen. I'm not saying it can't. I'm just saying it's not probably going to lead to good things for most people.
Right. Right. So good point. I'd like to expand on that. If you haven't run fast in 10 years, and let's just say that you're 35. Okay. So the last time you ran fast in anything, any sport or exercise fitness routine, was 10 years ago. You should not be running fast. Your body has to adjust to running. Mm-hmm. Okay. Your tendons, your muscles, like, things have to develop and adjust to what you're doing. So if you sprint all of a sudden after 10 years of not sprinting and you do a repetitive sprint workout, you're probably gonna pull a hammy, or your Achilles is gonna be flared up, or you're gonna have tendonitis of the patellar tendon. Like, something is gonna probably start to irritate, inflame, and let you know about it. And then you come see one of us or a doc, and we have to treat you. But don't do that. Just go slow. Mm-hmm. There's time for that. Just wait, be patient. A lot of this is patience. It's, you're just stacking bricks over time, trying to build something. It's just right. going to take longer than you want it to take. Just like an injury takes longer than you want it to. And it's better to deal with slow running and progression and positive things than to deal with injuries and negative things.
Yeah. I mean, you know, two things on that point. One, at a certain point, physiology is physiology. Like, your body is only going to respond so quickly. It just,
that was deep, by the way. That was really,
yeah, that's
sound
science.
We should stop and let people sink that in before you continue, Wolfman.
But
physiology is physiology.
Yeah. It certain things take a certain amount of time, no matter who you are or any of that. But anyway, my other point is, you know, I've worked myself back from injuries, as I'm sure you have, Maverick, and it takes time. And what I tell everybody, especially if I'm treating them and they're getting back into it, is when you first start back, and I usually write them a program and help them out, you should feel ridiculous compared to what you were doing. Like, it should feel silly. You should feel like you're not accomplishing anything when you get out there, because if you are following the plan, you're giving your body that time. And I'm talking like you shouldn't have pain. So if whatever you were coming for starts to hurt, you should stop and walk back. I have run 25 yards before, stopped and walked back to get back to where I was. And I can tell you from experience, not just professionally, but just my own experience, when you do it that way, you get back to where you were a lot faster than if you just try to push through that pain and go 2-3 miles instead of just stopping at 25 yards and continuing the next day.
Right. Right. So when you've had enough, just stop.
Yeah.
Don't keep trying to run more just because some book told you to, or some podcast said, oh, you should run, 15 miles. Like, if you're injured or you just don't feel like you can do it, you probably need a break. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with taking a break and then continuing on. It depends on what your goal is. Like, obviously, if we were talking to a bunch of college level runners that are experienced, we would be going, oh, walk and take a break.
Yeah.
That's not going to be the advice. We're going to be like, are you injured? Like, you need to see somebody and get it worked out. But if we're talking to, 15 brand new runners that never ran before, and they say, well, every time that I get to this point, I feel like my knee hurts really bad. We're gonna be like, stop there. Don't push it. Oh, at this point, I feel really tired. Like I can't run anymore. Okay, wait, time out. We need to go and look at this and see why you can't run any further than that. And that's consistent. We need to figure that out.
So here's another common question that we get along these lines. How do I know if it's regular soreness from running? Because exercise is uncomfortable. Exercise should not feel good and comfy.
Come on, exercise is great.
Or if it's pain, I would say if you're running and it gets sore, but it's not altering your form in any way, it's probably just regular muscle soreness. If you're having to alter the way you're running, maybe you're changing the way your foot's hitting the ground, or you start to weeble wobble, you're probably risking an injury and you should stop. You know what I mean? Good.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, it for sure. Yeah. Form change. If you're hobbling, if you have pain on one side or one joint, one muscle group, like those are kind of signs that it's not normal pain. Like pain in running is the, the breathing is, it's kind of burny. My legs are a little burny. Things are kind of getting tight in my legs. I can't run as fast because I'm getting knotted up. That's lactic acid. That's not the same thing as like, oh, my left knee hurt really bad and it was very sharp. And I just kept running. And that was at 3 miles and I ran 8. And you're like, you ran 5 miles with sharp pain in your knee. Was there something stuck in your knee? Like, what were you doing?
If your running partner says, hey, man, you're limping, you're probably not supposed to continue.
Now, once again, so for me, what I found, once again, I'm an experienced runner. I've done this for many years. If I get some tightness in, my knee or my quad or my IT band, I can kind of do this kind of heel kick thing that will stretch it out while I'm running so I don't have to stop and stretch. Now, that's completely different, and a lot of people can't do that. Even when I tell people how to do that, you have to be coordinated enough to do it on the run, first of all. And second of all, you have to do it in the way that's not going to tweak your knee. So I don't recommend that often. I only recommend that with people that have been running before and have something going on. So that they can get through the run. If they're in a race and that happens and they don't want to stop, they're on pace for a PR or something like that, I will teach them that little trick, but I don't do that often. And most people, especially a new runner, I would never have them do that. I would have them stop, stretch, and then continue on with the run or race.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I concur.
I'm glad.
Word of the day. It'll be somewhere in here.
Scrabble word.
I might cut that out. I don't know.
But anyway, the summary is to start off slow. Don't worry about the pace as much. Slow it down. Stay injury free as much as you can. work through it, be patient. Don't overstress it. Running, especially if you are new to it, you want it to be fun, enjoyable. You want to have goals and a purpose, but you want to work to those goals and purpose very, you know, in a good way. You want it to be a positive experience. You don't want it to be an injury filled experience. You don't want doctor visits. You don't want any of that stuff. You want to have a good, positive run.
Yeah. And running is one of those things that you can enjoy for a long, long time if you do it the right way. And, you know, we're at that time of year, the weather's getting nice, at least here in, you know, good old PA. Although it cooled down a little bit this last week, but anyway,
heat's on, bud.
Races are coming up. You know, it's a good time to find a race that you want to do in the summer or fall, sign up for that, start working toward it, and let us know how you did.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to have some interesting guests coming up, a couple of unique interviews coming up.
Good. Good.
Very good, guys. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the run. Have a great workout. Stay positive. You can do it. Be patient. All right.
Keep getting out there. That's the big thing. Don't forget to email us your questions, runningwithmaverickandwolfman@yahoo.com. It'll be below. Find us on Facebook, Instagram. Again, subscribe on YouTube. Hit the little notification bell so that you get notified when we release great new content, and share it with friends and get out there. Keep running.
Maverick and Wolfman running out.